A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 160. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Star Maidens. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Star Maidens from 1976, an ITV series, just a single series, so we've been looking at 13... 25-minute episodes, and perhaps interestingly, this was a co-production, a British and German and possibly even a French co-production, we think, Brian.
Yes, primarily British and German, and that comes into it quite a bit, as we'll see. And the series was a sort of reversal of the Battle of the Sexes, with a technologically advanced alien culture dominated by women.
That's right, and it is, we have to say, I think in advance, it is a fair slice of 1970s, certainly almost camp and glam rock costumes, I think, Brian. There's some interesting costuming choices as we go through it.
Yes, is glam cheese a term? I don't know, maybe it should be.
Yes. So it is a little bit of a strange one, but it was suggested for us by a few of our listeners. So, you know, we do have our listeners to thank to alerting us to this show, which I don't think either of us had it on our radar beforehand, Brian.
Not really, but it is something that some of our listeners definitely remembered. So that's sort of always nice to be coming back to something like that. So the setup for this... On the planet Medusa, society is indeed led by women, and men are sort of little more than domestic slaves, it seems. Men are sort of subjugated in this society. And there is a close approach of the comet Dionysus, which has knocked the planet away from its own sun, and it is moving towards our solar system.
That's right, and because it's been thrown out of its own system, the planet of Medusa is now covered in ice on the surface, so it's an ice planet, and the Medusan society has retreated underground into their technically advanced buildings and with all their modcons. And our story starts with two of the male characters. So these are the sort of subjugated male domestics who are plotting an escape and in fact do escape. And they steal a very fast space yacht and manage to get away from the planet Medusa.
And of course, they arrive on Earth and are closely followed by two female pursuers. And of course, there is a chase involved there. And contact with humans slowly increases and shows the differences between our society, that is British slash European 1970s society, and this alien society.
That's right. And there is a fair bit of chasing going on in the first few episodes, I think, and a certain amount of escape, recapture, escape, and chase sequence. It settles down a bit after the first few episodes, but certainly early on that dominates proceedings.
Yes, it does. Now, we should get into some of the characters here. There are quite a number of them, so we should look at those.
Okay, let's start on Medusa with Grand Counselor Fulvia, played by the actress Judy Geeson, who we saw in the movie version of Doomwatch. She is Medusa's sort of leading politician, or one of the leading politicians. And when we see her on Medusa, she has this fantastically decadent and relaxed life and spends most of her time, it seems, being pampered by her male domestic.
I think Judy Geeson was a pretty big name at the time. So as a British actress to have in this was a fairly big deal.
Yes, I mean, you know, she's a very well-known actress from the 70s, as you say. So, yes, quite a big deal. And then she's got her male domestic, the character Adam. Now, interestingly, he was played by a French actor called Pierre Brice, Although, just to confuse things further, this French actor was a huge star on German television, and apparently in something which was referred to as Sauerkraut Western, so a long-running Western television series on German television, which he was a star of.
I think he may have been on French television as well at some point in there, too. I'm not positive about that.
Okay, so we've got this sort of European feel to this show. And Adam, the character he's playing, persuades his friend to help him escape from their life of domestic tyranny and make this break in the spaceship and head for Earth.
And that friend is Shem, played by none other than Gareth Thomas, who would go on to star in Blake 7 not long after this. He was a spaceship engineer on Medusa, and he helps to steal this ship that they make their escape in. We also have the chief security controller, Octavia, played by Christiane Kruger, and she leads the hunt for Adam and Shem. So we have sort of those four characters as our two male escapees and our two female pursuers.
And then on Earth, we've got some of the people they sort of bump into. We've got a scientist, Professor Evans, played by the actor Derek Farr. Evans is the leader of a British radio astronomy project who first detect the arrival of Medusa in the solar system. And he is sort of responsible for making first contact with the Medusans when they land on Earth, and is assisted by his chief researcher, a character called Rudy, played by the German actor, this time Christian Quadflieg. So he's sort of the male lead on Earth, and then he's assisted by his own assistant, Liz, played by, again, quite a well-known 1970s and 80s British actress, Lisa Harrow. So there's the sort of counterparts, I suppose, to this battle of sexes on Earth.
That's right. And we also have the Medusan president, Clara, played by Don Adams, who's like the supreme ruler, essentially, on Medusa, and very calm and dignified, and really doesn't see the perspective of the men at all. She's much more sort of feeling that the position that men have on Medusa is the right one, and that's where men should be.
Okay, interesting. Interesting actress, Dawn Adams, famous for her lovely hair, but we get to see none of it in this show, Brian, because it's all covered by a quite remarkable headdress, which possibly I thought resembles a 1970s light fitting, but there you go. Very sequined and flashy headdress.
Yes, we certainly have lots of things like that in this show. And as you can see, we have a real mix of British and German actors in here, and that becomes sort of a big part of the feel of the show. And the another thing that is quite distinctive is the look of this series. It had a very 1970s sort of look with that, you know, we've mentioned sort of glam rock kinds of feel to it. The Medusans wear flowing robes with elaborate hair and eye makeup, lots of glitter and sequins, a very flashy sort of look to it.
Yes, and to go along with the sort of glitter and glam rock, we've got the men wearing their figure-hugging trousers and jumpsuits. And for some reason, which I don't think was ever explained, both Adam and Shem have blonde streaks through their hair, which is slightly peculiar, particularly in Gareth Thomas's case. But there you go. We're not used to seeing him with that.
Yeah, they're like big stripes almost. It's a very, I guess it gives them a look, but it's certainly unusual.
Okay. And then also back on Medusa, we see their sort of security force or their police women who are kitted out in some rather impractical looking helmets. And particularly, I think the hot pants and platform heeled boots, not really conducive to the certain amount of chasing they have to do.
Yeah, that is a little bit odd, isn't it?
It's probably just as well that they're armed with some form of immobilization ray gun so that they don't have to do too much running around.
Yes. the advanced society of Medusa has sets that have a bit of a Logan's Run, the 1976 film, a bit of that feel. And some of the design is quite reminiscent of Space 1999 as well, which was also around this time.
Heroines through the ages. And what about the men? Who does the work on this planet? Who builds the cities? Who looks after the kids? Who slaves all the day over a microwave stove?
Keep quiet, Adam. That's the way it is. That's the way it always will be. It's a woman's world.
No, not for much longer, Shem. My plans are almost ready.
Listen. So we should get into some production notes. The idea for this series was conceived by Jost Graf van Hardenberg, the German TV person, but the story was then developed by Eric Pace, who we remember from the Pathfinders to Space series. We covered that in British Invaders 129 and 130. A co-production between James Gatward's Portman Productions in the UK and von Hardenberg's German TV production company was established.
And sold to and broadcast by the ITV regional company Scottish TV for broadcast over here. And I guess must have been also sold and broadcast on their various European networks as well. But certainly here in the UK on Scottish TV. And interestingly, as well as Eric Pace, we've got some other interesting writers here, Brian. We've got John Lucarotti from Doctor who wrote certainly some classic storylines, Marco Polo and the Aztecs. And he also wrote for the Avengers for British TV.
Yes, he was definitely a good writer.
Absolutely, you know, fantastic writer. And then we've got Ian Stuart Black, who wrote again for Doctor Who, wrote The Savages, The War Machines and The Macra Terror. So, you know, interesting people involved in the production.
Yes, absolutely. And there was the German TV writer Otto Strang was writing for it as well. The show was partly directed by Hammer Horror director Freddie Francis, who had also been the cinematographer on David Lynch's The Elephant Man. So we had some fairly high-powered people involved here.
And yes, and you mentioned Hammer, because this was also filmed at the Hammer Studios, the Bray Studios, famous for Hammer's sort of horror and for their television show, and here being used by this series. And we also mentioned that it sort of had that look and feel of some of the episodes of Space 1999. And of course, that's no accident, because they, in fact, were recycling some of the models and props and even some of the sets from Space 1999. And in fact, there's a shot in the opening credit sequence of Star Maidens, which is supposed to show Medusa hurtling through the cosmos, as it were. But actually, it was originally a shot of the moon travelling through space from Space 1999. And so they took that clip and used it here.
Not surprisingly, the production designer, Keith Wilson, was also the production designer on Space 1999. So they did a lot of recycling of things to put into this to get this series going. The show was actually produced in the gap between Series 1 and Series 2 of Space 1999. So some of the people who worked on Space 1999 just stepped over and worked on Star Maidens for a while. There are quite a few model shots of the exterior of Medusa being blown up by the Dionysus Comet and of a couple of spaceships in flight and so on that were sort of Space 1999 stuff as well.
Although we have to say, possibly because Derek Meddings from Gerry Anderson's production company wasn't involved in this one, that the model work is not up to the Anderson standard. And if you go to YouTube and look at the opening title sequence, I think you'll perhaps see what we mean. The explosions and model work, they perhaps leave something to be desired. Let's put it that way, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. There may have been budget issues there as well, I'm not sure. But yeah, well, it did not look like Space 1999 in that way, for sure.
Okay. Another similarity is that the theme tune sounds like it might almost have been composed by Anderson's longtime collaborator Barry Gray, and in fact Wikipedia lists him as a composer of the music, but we think that may be wrong. As far as we can tell, the music was composed by somebody called Barry Lippmann, although that was actually a nom de plume for a German composer called Friedel Bearlip. It certainly sounds like they're attempting in a sort of Gerry Anderson, Barry Gray type music. But as I say, we believe that's not the case. It's not actually Barry Gray. If you know more details or you can confirm that for us, we'd be very grateful if you could get in touch.
Yeah, it isn't credited as Barry Gray, but it does sound like they're sort of trying to go for that kind of feel.
Okay, so we've got that sort of feel of the model work and the special effects and the music. And then, as we've said, we've got this multinational cast, so English, German, French actors, clearly, I think, meant to appeal and to help its sellability in the various broadcast areas it was intended for. So this was clearly, I think, intended to be sold to all those three countries and probably many more.
Yes, absolutely. And it was a German co-production, so the German broadcast was an important part of it. They recorded alternate language dubbed versions of the audio tracks. The German actors, and there were a few of them, recorded the German dialogue for their own characters. And, of course, the original shooting was all done in English. The broadcast was in sort of a tea time slot, you know, late afternoon, early evening type of thing, starting in September 1976. And there were, I understand, some differences in scheduling and broadcast order in the different ITV regional networks around the UK. And apparently some regions in the UK actually didn't show it at all.
Yes, this is interesting because we've encountered this before with ITV programs from the 60s and 70s, when ITV was split up into these regional networks. And when they had a series show, they would often... the networks would show it at different times, they would show episodes in the wrong orders, and some networks might not pick up a show at all. So interestingly enough, this show Star Maidens was never broadcast in the ATV area as far as I know, so I never saw it when it was first broadcast in the 70s.
Interesting. It did mean that ITV shows very often were not able to have sort of ongoing stories that would require episodes to be shown in a certain order. Some things could be done in that, some things could be serialized, but very often dictating an order for the series was not something that was an available option.
Okay.
Now we should get on to availability here. There were repeats in some regions of Star Maidens. It became very popular in German reruns as late as the 1990s. And there were VHS releases of the German language version of Star Maidens.
And then we get a DVD release from Delta TV in 2005. It's a Region Zero DVD set, but it's in the PAL system. And that shows all 13 episodes. Does have a notes booklet from a fan website, which we'll mention later, which was by Alistair McGowan. And it also, as an extra, we have a 30-minute interview with Gareth Thomas himself, looking back on how he came to be cast in Star Maidens and his experience on working with this international cast and some of the stunts he had to do and so on. So, as ever, quite interesting to hear Gareth Thomas talk about anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, sadly, that DVD set from 2005 has already been deleted, and it's getting quite expensive over here in the UK. It's currently going for about £50 on Amazon Marketplace. You may find it cheaper elsewhere, but at the moment, that's the lowest price I could find. It is on Love Film, the rental site, but not on Netflix, so you can actually rent the DVD set, thankfully.
Okay. Over here in North America, there is no North American Region 1 release. you may be able to play the Region Zero European resolution version. I think most DVD players will play those, not all. And it's actually even more expensive from Amazon.com. At the moment, prices are in the sort of $90 up to about $180 in that range. So it is rather pricey, and it might be easier if you really want this to just import it from the UK.
Crikey. That's a big price for this slice of 70s cheese.
Indeed.
So one other way to watch it, at the time of recording, all 13 episodes appeared to be up on YouTube, although as with any sort of licensed content, those things do get taken down, so it may not be there by the time you look, but at the moment I think they are still up there.
Okay. So next time, we will talk a little more about some of the episodes and how the story progresses over the run, and we'll look at a few of the spin-offs that were out, mostly in print, based on Star Maidens.
Okay, yep, some interesting spin-offs, and we've got to get to our own reviews and our recommendations about this show as we try and settle once and for all this question of whether it's a piece of cheesy 1970s nonsense or whether it's an actual attempt to do something serious in the science fiction genre and to look at some serious gender politics stuff.
Yes, lots of stuff to talk about next time.
So please send us your feedback.
Absolutely. You can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at britishinvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can find us at thegeekculturenetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us that way.
Or you may choose to live stream us on the Voice of Geeks streaming radio at vognetwork.com, where we go out on a Monday and a Tuesday evening, and we welcome you aboard if you've come from the Vogue Network.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, this is Eamon in England, also signing off.